This is Center Stage Minnesota. Center Stage Minnesota is our show at Northern Community Radio that focuses on the talents of Minnesota musicians. I'm Charlie Polkerbeck. I'll be your host for this edition of Center Stage Minnesota. In a little bit, we're going to hear a feature on Bemidji duo and band Acoustic Smoke. We'll hear an interview with them and some of their music in just a little bit. We're going to start off today with a new release called Terry and Them. It's music that features some people from the Itasca County area: Greg Kaiser, Tim Wick, Brett Reed, Don Vidal, Pat Downing, and Jim Padilla. And it centers around the songwriting of Terry Longton. And this record is called That Was Now, This Is Then. It's a culmination of many things, and it's a nice record. I got to listen to it in my drive from Bemidji to Grand Rapids today. And we'll start off the show on Center Stage Minnesota today with one called Hang Down.
Let your head down, baby, let it fall. I think you and me can have a ball.
You get away from it all.
Let your head, baby, hang down. Talk to me and maybe we'll hang around. I can't turn your crazy head around. Only seen you, baby, once or twice. You want me to think you're cold as ice and sound. You heard my advice, just let your hair, baby, hang down. Talk to me and maybe we'll hang around. I can't turn your crazy head around. And stroll. You let that bourbon whiskey take its toll.
It's time to rock when I roll. And
let your hair, baby, hang down. Talk to me and maybe we'll hang around. Let your hair, baby, hang down.
Thank you.
That's the Vale Dawns, and that comes from Twin Cities Funk and Soul, a release put up by Secret Stash Records, a Twin Cities label that specializes in mostly putting out vinyl, and what they do is they go find lost records, things that are either forgotten about, probably published in very low numbers originally, and try to figure out how to re-release them and give them a light of day again. So it's a very sort of envious job for those guys that I feel about them, and I really like my job, that they get to go out and treasure hunt like that. Twin Cities Funk and Soul is mostly singles, but they also do full albums as well, and that's the Vale Dawns' Love Me, Leave Me from the Twin Cities Funk and Soul. Lost R&B Grooves from Minneapolis, St. Paul, 1964 to 1979. I talked to those guys a little while ago just out of curiosity to see what they were doing with Minnesota acts, and they've had a few showcases of the bands or musicians that are still around in the Twin Cities from all the acts that appear on this record, and the Vale Dawns are reforming and recording, so look for something from them new sometime soon. Before that, we started the show on Center Stage Minnesota today with Terry N.M., as in N. Them. We heard Hang Down from That Was Now, This Is Then. We're going to hear now from Acoustic Smoke, the duo from the Bemidji area. It's Joe Holt, who does most of the songwriting, and then Roy Hirschberger. Their release from 2012 was called Leave Better Than You Are. They also have one out called One Kind Favor. We're going to hear my interview with them in just a few minutes. We're going to hear a sample of their music first from Leave Better Than You Are. This one's called Daddy's 49.
The year that Indian went bust, then the tarnish of time turned the ledge on to rust. And my daddy was a boy when the last chief left the line. But I can still remember Daddy's big old 49. Well, the engine had a rumble with the pipe slung low. She was built of dirt and leather and that blue burned chrome. And the gauges never worked. She ran like fire. Daddy never felt himself on his big red 49. So strap yourself on, wrap your arms around my chest. We're pointed to the wind, then we ride that baby west. You and me and Jesus leave everyone behind. 'Cause I can just imagine we're riding Daddy's 49. Desert to the sea, cruise across the cornfields like the Sea of Galilee. We can walk on water when we're riding on the breeze. Strap your cell phone, wrap your arms around my chest. We'll point it to the wind, then we'll ride that baby west. You and me and Jesus leave everyone behind. I can just imagine we're riding Daddy's 49. Imagine we're riding Daddy's 49. Hey.
from the record released in 2012, Leave Better Than You Are. That's Acoustic Smoke. That band is Joseph Holt and Roy Hershberger. They have two records out now and are really starting to just to stab out into the live music scene, but they're definitely very serious about it. If you like that, I have a couple tracks that were recorded in the studio with me when we sat down and talked. They received a grant from the Region 2 Arts Council. They were awarded a grant because of their merit to record and publish Leave Better Than You Are. And here's that interview. First of all, I guess I'd like you guys to describe the musical paths that led you both to form Acoustic Smoke.
Roy, you've got a lot of thoughts on that.
Well, it just started out, I was kind of looking for someone to play with and record with. And I heard Joe's voice, and I thought, I like that voice. So so I approached him, and we got together in my studio, and just a couple songs that, I think it was a couple Johnny Cash songs, actually.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
That just clicked, that I knew, that he knew. And I think it was Hurt. What was the other one?
God's Gonna Cut You Down.
Yeah, we both knew those songs. We played them, and it just clicked. After that, we just started getting together more and more, and the more we played, the more kind of a certain style and certain sound kind of developed, you know.
And we weren't taking it seriously.
No, not really.
We were just goofing off.
Really. We were just having fun with it. But then when people started hearing us, they thought, you know, that sounds pretty good. You should take it more seriously. So we started thinking about an album, and we started adopting these black spirituals that we had come across that really fit what we were doing. And so our first album was basically our own versions of a bunch of black spirituals. So,
okay. Like that song, One Kind Favor.
Yep.
That's an old, old Delta blues tune out of the Deep South that we've just switched over and adopted.
Well, that's nice when something develops that naturally. You talked about developing your sound. What would be the sound that, or how would you describe it?
We would probably disagree on that. We the thing that's interesting with Roy and I is we approach music in a lot of ways very, very differently. Roy has a lot of, you say, jazz background? I know you're much
jazz.
More eclectic than that.
Yeah. But. Well, that's probably the one thing in my background that you don't have. So
yeah, and I don't have any jazz background. Yeah. I was actually trained classically, but you know, I switched my voice over to be able to do popular voice. But my background is largely rock and very, very gritty blues. There's a particular blues musician out there that shaped me tremendously, Glenn Kaiser. And I'd never heard anything like what Kaiser had produced before. This is back in the early 90s that I first was introduced to Kaiser. And I realized that I could shape my voice around what he was producing. And I wasn't aware that I had that skill. It was a gift, really. It was fabulous. I enjoyed doing it. My problem was I couldn't write music. I had training in songwriting, but I had no skill, no gift, never had. I'd written zillions of songs, and they were all just absolutely horrid. I mean, really, it's just terrible. It was an embarrassment. My mother and my wife, even before she was my wife and she's my fiancée, we'd sit in the living room, and I had a full band at that time that used to tour around Minnesota called Allied Forces. And the band would get together in the living room, the big PA system, we would rehearse, and we'd get to one of my songs that I had written, and we'd perform that. And my mother and my fiancé would just sit on the couch and just laugh their heads off. And it was hard. That was hard.
You're being heckled in your own living
room. I'm being heckled in my living room. I had a song called In the Haze. And every time I'd come to the tagline of the chorus, which was, In the Haze. This was the 80s. You did stuff like that. My mother and my fiancé would sit on the couch and echo back, In the Haze. Because they thought that's what it sounded like coming out of my mouth. They just thought that was terrific. When they started doing that in concerts, I decided it was to hang up songwriting for a while. I just didn't need that.
How has your sound evolved? It sounds like it's moved some or maybe a lot since you first started playing together.
Yeah, all of a sudden he just started writing songs. He started coming up with melodies and lyrics. Then I found it a challenge to take his melodies and try to form a guitar part around that, you know. And so in that process, we kind of developed more into I'd say more of a folk rock type of sound. And some of the songs are very folky. So
it turns out that I like to sing blues a lot, but I don't really write a lot of blues. When I actually sat down and began to write, it really wasn't blues. And then when Roy would bring in his gifts with a tremendous amount of background in bluegrass, folk, and jazz guitar, then it took the stuff I was writing and, it gave it the unique sound that really is Acoustic Smoke. And we're not 100% sure what that is. I suppose you'd class it as Americana of one form or another, folk rock. I think it's about as close as you'd be.
I think it's interesting. It sort of sounds, it's got a sort of a mythical, legendary, both the writing and the sound, almost stuff of myth and legend and stories.
Charlie, you and I are going to get along really well. We're going to have long-term friendship here.
That's Joe's storytelling abilities. He's very, very good storyteller.
Well, particularly with a song such as Pirates, were you just thinking generally of maybe the adventures that a pirate might experience, or did you have some particular actual figure from history in mind?
I did. I started writing a song about Edward Teach, his Blackbeard, as he's better known. But really, to strip away the myth and just get down to the realities of the songwriting, because I write every day, and the realities of getting down to everyday in-and-out songwriting, and I hate to admit this, but the truth is, I was listening to Mark Knopfler, who used to be the front man for Dire Straits. Mm-hmm. Now, Mark Knopfler is a tremendous, like you say, legendary storyteller. That's what he writes these days and has now for the last 20 years. And he recently produced a song called Privateering. Now, it sounds absolutely nothing like Pirates, but the concept he was portraying, he was singing a song about privateers. And I was just in love with it. This is a fabulous song. It's neat what he was doing. And at the same time, I'd watched a documentary on Edward Teach Blackbeard. I was bored one night, and I was watching TV, watched a documentary. And the next day, I started working on Pirates. Because for me, I'm a researcher by heart, and what I need is the details. I can write about any story anytime if I have enough details about the story at hand. I need to know who are the people. It's like a novelist. I do the same kind of research that a novelist would do. I actually go out and I research these stories, research these tales, get the details in my head, and the more of that I have, the quicker and smoother the songs lay down for me when I'm actually in the studio writing.
Everyone, kind of favor gonna ask of you. Yeah, yeah.
That's the title track from the first record released by Acoustic Smoke. That one was recorded live in the studios of KBXE. Acoustic Smoke, once again, is Joe Holt and Roy Hirschberger. They're a Bemidji-based duo band, and they call themselves something along the lines of acoustic rock, somewhere in the Americana vein. In just a moment, we'll continue with the second half of that interview. You are listening to Center Stage Minnesota. My name is Charlie Polkerbeck, and we're going to hear more from that interview from Acoustic Smoke. Well, you got a grant for your last record from Region 2 Arts Council. I'm sure that was exciting to find out that you were awarded that, and it helped you publish your record, Leave Better Than You Are. I don't have a specific question about that. I just wondered if you guys wanted to say anything about that.
It was a neat process. I had never written a grant before, and neither had Roy. You know, it was completely new to us. You know, the state of Minnesota offers a very large grant, you know, upwards more than $10,000, but that was so competitive that I didn't feel like for my first grant that that was going to be the easiest thing to do. But gosh, the local Region 2 Arts Council, and here to plug the Arts Council, they're doing a tremendous thing here. I think they're giving away upwards of $20,000 a year overall to various local artists with the intention of supporting local art. And they only take, I don't remember exactly what they say, they're looking for like the top 1% of artists in the Bemidji region, in the Region 2 of the state. I think that's the number that they told me, but you know, I could be wrong. But I think that's what they're doing. And it's pretty competitive. And it was fascinating to sit in on their meetings and listen to them talk about the other artists that were applying. And there were some really tremendous artists out there, not just music, but sculpture and painting and just some brilliant stuff. Music, people were asking for new instruments, paints, lessons to be able to do art. And then there was us, and we wanted to record an album. And it was an interesting meeting, to be sure. But in the end, they told us that, gosh, they thought the grant was well done, and they thought the music was really good. They liked the music, which that was nice because for us, it was the first time. I mean, we'd been out and we'd played quite a bit by that point. And of course, audiences tell you they like you. Mom tells you she likes you. You know, the wife is there. Yes, Joe, you should do this. This is good stuff. Your friends all gather around and tell you how great you are. But honestly, I mean, come on. What else are they going to say? I really stunk, Joe. You should probably go home. But to have a group of 12 people who just do this, that this is what they do, is they quantify artistic endeavor and decide what's worthy of being funded, sit around in a room specifically to do this and come out and say, yep, we like it enough. Here's a big fat check. Well, that was the first real outside someone else that knew what they were talking about that had no stake in us would come out and say, yes, you should pursue this. So that was a big deal.
Anything you want to say about it?
Well, it was nice. I mean, it allowed us to really put a lot more time and effort into it than we probably would have had if we hadn't had those funds. So, yeah, it was really good and appreciate the opportunity for sure.
Was that a do-it-yourself record?
Yeah.
No. Roy?
Well,
Roy is being humble. Roy is a professional sound engineer, and he has a studio. But the mere fact that Roy also plays guitar for the band, then does that make it a do-it-yourself record because we're recording it in Roy's actual professional studio with his professional skills? I think Roy's not going to toot his own horn there, so let me do it for him.
Very Minnesota quality.
There you go.
Well, you guys talked a little bit about internalizing and tweaking songs now as something you've learned along the way since you began Acoustic Smoke. Before you go into the studio, you are now going to try to perform them live a little more and see how they sort of naturally develop before you get them down on in zeros and ones, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, our first album, we kind of wrote the songs as we were recording them. No, that works in a sense, but I think Joe mentioned earlier when we were talking that they kind of lack the energy that we later learned to perform them at, you know. And so this next album, what we want to do is really perform the songs and really get them down, I think, to where they really click and they really have the energy, and then think about going into the studio and recording them at that point. So
yeah, it was the crowds that taught us this. You know, we'd get the sounds, we had them recorded, we had the album recorded, we go out, we do concerts, the crowds buy the records. They hear us in concert, and they go home, and they email me on Facebook. And they say, wow, this record's great. But you guys live are a different band. And I don't know that they could even themselves describe it that well, but Roy and I immediately knew what they were talking about because we'd felt it too.
Yeah, well, that was probably part of it. But then also, I mean, we did full production on this album. I mean, there's sometimes three guitars, which obviously we can't reproduce live.
Not the two of us.
So that has a lot to do with it too, I'm sure, but it's a different process. I think with the new album, we're going to try to keep it a lot more simple and probably rely more on just what we're doing live and probably not do a lot of overdubbing and extra, you know, guitars.
Partially because as we've sold this current album, and it sells, you know, all over the internet, all the major places like Amazon and iTunes, you can get it anywhere you can buy records, but people keep wanting our first album, One Kind Favor, which we were a little embarrassed by that album because we thought that the recording quality was really pretty substandard. The songs were fine and all. We're better musicians now, certainly, but we weren't really much taken with our own record. But it's a completely unique and different sound to anything that people are listening to anywhere else, apparently, or so they're telling us. And so people still want that album. And that kind of led us to the thought, well, wow, maybe that simplistic stripped-down sound of that first record is still a very vital musical component that we should be thinking about.
Do you plan to take Acoustic Smoke's show on the road, very far-flung, or do you imagine yourself as more of a regional act?
Well, we maybe approach this differently. I'm always in with both feet. I'm always on the attack. I mean, I'm kind of the, you know, when we get on stage, I'm the guy that's out there doing, I'm talking to the crowd, I'm interacting with the crowd. I've got that kind of personality. And so I push that. Yeah, I want to go as far as it'll go. I don't see any reason to stop or slow down. Roy is a more cautious, conservative fellow, and so he wants to approach this a little more carefully. And I'm not sure that's a bad thing. You know, I'm not entirely sure that the mix is all that bad. You know, if one of us has the drive to push us beyond where we're comfortable and the other one has the good sense to hold us back where it's smart, maybe that's the best chance you have.
Yeah, that actually sounds like a good combination. You guys said that you are almost ready, or you're almost got a complete records full of songs written. So you have plans after performing some of those songs live and letting them develop a little bit to actually get back in the studio again sometime in the next year, maybe? I don't know.
It depends on how much playing we do this year. You know, I don't know how full our schedule is going to be, because last year we played all over northern Minnesota kind of lightly. And we had a fellow who assisted us who just wanted to support us in the arts. After we got the grant, he wanted to assist us further. He liked what we were producing, and he helped us fund concerts all over northern Minnesota, which is really, really big of him. He's a neat guy who wishes to remain anonymous, so I'll let that go. But this year now, we're leaving that concept and we're moving into more traditional club circuits and places like Fitker's Brew House in Duluth and all the various satellite clubs that are there, Grandma's and Beaner's Central, and then move down into the Twin Cities area and stuff like that. So it will depend on how quickly we're able to accomplish that. It's going very well in Duluth right now, but we haven't broken into the Twin Cities yet. We've just started that process. Maybe that will go quick and easy. But I doubt it.
Well, I'd really like to thank both of you for coming in and joining us here in the KBXE studios in Bemidji of Northern Community Radio. And thanks for being on Center Stage Minnesota.
Well, thank you, Charlie. Yeah, it was a joy to be here. Pirates.
Right.
Hit it.
They were on the ground, hear the vineyard sound on the day. And I went there to see him fall away by life. He wouldn't let me sail that day, a friend he was to me. So I stood on the pier in fear, and I watched them put to sea. Remember youthful times when we stood to back the crown. We could see the whole world as we sailed the whole world round. The lash upon a man of war was never good to me. So it was I felt the call and turned to piracy. We don't fight the country and we've never fought for God. We had turned the town for seas and angels fear. another round, but don't give out your name. I don't care that she's a beauty, cause the rules are still the same. If I were you, I'd not sit with my back against the door, and I wouldn't blow that bag of gold to gamble, drink, and whore. Now I'll not stand for slander, I'll not dance the hempen jig. They can't hang what they can't catch, and Lord, I'm moving quick. You should do the same if you ought to see another day. Loyalty is well and good till life has passed away.
Joe Holt and Roy Hershberger, their Acoustic Smoke, and that was another one recorded at the studios of KBXE, Northern Community Radio. That one is destined to be on their next record. Thanks to Joe and Roy for being on Center Stage Minnesota. I'm Charlie Polkerbeck, and this is Center Stage Minnesota, which is our show at Northern Community Radio that focuses on the talents of Minnesota musicians. And Center Stage Minnesota is made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Coming up, Reina Del Cid and the Citizens. And this is Stay Away From Me Love from their Blueprints Plans release of 2012.
Love, you're a punk, you're a jerk and a drunk, though you'll stamp and you'll spit and you'll swear you're my best friend. Oh, but what did I say? What did I say about coming around here again? Now, did we ever ask for you to jump inside? Oh, no, we never asked for you to wreck our lives, but here you are. Stay away from me, love. Love, you're diseased, and I'm sick, cause I see I could search my whole life, but there's no medicine, cause what kind of shot could get the poison out of my skin. Now every time I think that I've recovered and I'm fine, a handsome boy lets out a cough and a smile and you're back again. Stay away from me, love. Oh, am I too cautious? Sometimes I think I'm just paranoid, but I get and you put your ugly hands in a handsome boy.
Stay. material grave. She loves a job, she's a corporate slave. She's a platinum blonde with high heels on. She got a sexy strut, let me tell you what. She's solid gone, she's solid gone. Neckhair razor, she wears steel strap socks. She's a burnt out blazer. She's mean as a snake, she'll tempt your fate. She'll steal your shoes and make you live the blues. But she's solid gone, she's solid gone. Baby, I wanna see you dance with those big sunglasses on. Ooh. You're gonna blow my mind.
Cannot wait to see him live. That's Ella Crankshaft Larson. The band is Crankshaft and the Gear Grinders. That comes from their 2011 release. They've had a great release out that you've probably heard a lot of that came out in 2013. And this one is just as good or better. Junkyard Rhythm is the name of it. And that one's called Solid Gone. Before that, we heard from Barbara Jean from her Great Escape release. The song was Keep It Rockin'. And Reina Del Cid and the Citizens, Stay Away From Me Love, from Blueprint's Plans. And that came out last year. And now from Duluth musician Mary Bew, from her Apple in the Ocean release from 2012, we're going to hear the closing track, Maps and Atlases, on Center Stage Minnesota.
Friends. Winterlude, winterlude, my little darling. Winterlude by the road tonight. Tonight there will be no quarreling. Everything's gonna be alright. Well, I see by the angel beside me that my love has a reason to shine. You're the one I adore. Come over here and give me more than winterlude. This dude thinks you're fine. Winterlude, winterlude, my little apple. Winterlude by the corn in the field. Winterlude, let's go down to the chapel. Then come back and cook up a meal. We'll come out when the skating rink glistens by the sun near the old crossroad sign. The snow is so cold, but our love can be bold. Winterlude, this dude thinks you're fine.
Johnson and the No Accounts from their The Banks of the Little Au Plain release from 2011. We heard a Bob Dylan song, a not very often covered song or renditioned song. Winterlude was the name of that track. I'm Charlie Polkerbeck. It's been fun bringing you another edition of Center Stage Minnesota, and we're going to go out on this edition with one from Corey Wong, jazz musician out of the Twin Cities, from his Corey Wong Quartet Even Uneven release. Here's the title track. Thank you.
Thank you.